Ice cold beer.
Popcorn, peanuts, Cracker Jack.
I know what the big deal about Cracker Jack is. Did you ever go and buy a pack of Cracker Jack thinking you'd get a prize and find no prize in the box?
Today, I consider myself the luckiest man on the face of the earth.
To the ball game, take me out to the crowd, buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jacks. I don't care if I ever get back. We'll root for the home team. If they don't win, it's a shame. 1, 2, 3 strikes you out at the old ball game.
All right. Welcome back to the Bench Jockeys here on 101.5 UMFM. I'm Michael Alves. Joining me in the studio and on the bench, my pal, Brian Svensson.
Hey, hi, howdy. Glad to be here.
Trying to get our headphones working here.
There we go. Mine's good.
Yeah? Mine sounds echoey. Like really echoey and buzzy.
Yep, but...
Just a sec here. Maybe let's play a quick commercial and we'll see if we can fix this so we don't hear ourselves in our ears quite so badly.
Looking for affordable t-shirts, hoodies, or other items for your group? Look no further than printedshirts.ca. From water bottles to travel mugs to backpacks, and from t-shirts to hoodies to team uniforms, printedshirts.ca has been meeting the needs of U of M student groups, clubs, and other organizations for over 20 years. Printedshirts.ca is Winnipeg's number one source for branded merch, whether it's just a dozen printed t-shirts or a large order of embroidered faculty hoodies. Their friendly and helpful staff consistently delivers quality product hassle-free, quickly, and at a great price. Visit printedshirts.ca to see the entire selection of products or stop by their showroom at 464 Hargrave Street in the Exchange for an in-person consultation about how printedshirts.ca can help out you and your group.
All right. I can hear myself. I can hear Brian. And
how's it going?
I don't hear duplicates of either of us right now. So that's great. It's the Bench Jockeys here on 101.5 UMFM. And we are hoping to get the bullpen phone lit up a little later in the show when Chris Zook joins us. It's been both a busy and a quiet holiday period in Major League Baseball. There is, of course, like a litany of like... stat-based, who's going to break out, who's going to regress type articles flowing online over the holidays. Some, you know, look backs at the web gems and favorite plays of the year and of the decade and stuff like that. But the stories that I think have, like, real portent are around signings,
yes. player
movement, and then sign stealing.
Yes. Yeah, yes on both of those.
So which one do you want to start with?
Let's start with the bad and then end with the good.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's right. Out with the old and with the new. Let's move towards the hopeful things. So obviously the Astros, I think we managed to talk about this before we broke,
yes.
Because the initial stuff around, you know, them banging on a garbage can and
we
all
talked
that
about
junk.
It a lot.
We talked about kind of in the waning days of 2019. However, and this is something that I read Tuesday on The Athletic. It was Ken Rosenthal and Evan Drellich. MLB sign-stealing controversy broadens. Sources say Red Sox used video replay room illegally in 2018. And then subsequent to that, some issues around the Yankees also illegally using their video room to steal signs and then to relay that information to players, both at bat and in the dugout.
So the two major developers of the sign stealing scandal on the 2017 Astros were Alex Cora mm-hmm. and Carlos Beltran.
Yeah.
And where did they go immediately following their stints there? Cora went to the Red Sox. Beltran went to the Yankees. Yeah. Are we surprised?
And so
I'm
not. It's these players who are linked to the genesis of this in Houston go on the road. And in fact, there's a couple of unnamed or, you know, players name redacted players quoted in the Rosenthal Andrelis piece saying, like, there were guys coming from other organizations saying, it's happening. Why are you not doing this? Basically, like, using the video room as a sign-stealing tool.
Well, because from what I can tell from a myriad of quotes from other Astros and, you know, anonymous sources inside the Astros front office,
I think, like, Mike Fiers is the only one who's really
put his name on it. It seems to be that the Astros of that year seemed to think that every other team was already doing it, and that they needed to continue to, like, they needed to do it in order to keep level with all these other teams that were doing it. They convinced themselves that they weren't the only teams that were the only team that was doing it.
Mm-hmm.
On top of that, there was some quotes from I don't want to get the Astros, which Astro player it was, but I want to say it was Correa, and Bregman both came out and slammed Mike Fiers for breaking baseball's unwritten code, saying, you know, we won that as a team. We, you know, like, you know, you're supposed to be part of the team, right? And really getting fired up at Fiers for basically pulling back the curtain on this whole Wizard of Oz scheme they've had going on. And to me, you know, convincing yourself that every other team does it, therefore you should do it, is the wrong way to go about it. If you're convinced that there are more teams doing it, then you go to the league. You don't take matters into your own hands.
Particularly because, as far as taking it to the league, there was a memorandum dated September 15, 2017, in which, and this is Major League Baseball providing a statement to Rosenthal for this Athletic piece saying,
right,
this memorandum made clear to clubs how seriously they would take a violation of the regulations regarding the use of the electronic equipment or inappropriate use of the video replay room. Given these allegations, MLB would commence an investigation into the matter. So they are now taking these Red Sox and Yankee ones. You know, and in fact, like, coming on the heels of some issues with video replay room, the league started hiring monitors to sit in the replay room,
yeah,
to ensure that they weren't doing stuff like this. However, and this is something that they report on, not every monitor was monitoring the same way. There didn't seem to be, like, uniform code of conduct for these monitors. And so sometimes they were leaving the room or allowing opportunities. Or, you know, there are rumors of certain replay rooms using, like, stepping out to go to the bathroom and then texting or, like, using some other communications to,
yeah,
communicate with the dugout.
Yeah. And I don't really know what to, how you go about fixing this sort of this sort of thing, nope, other than just making the punishment harsh.
The one thing, like, and it's a I would say maybe not a draconian measure, but it's like a, you know, maybe throwing the baby out with the bathwater kind of thing, is complete lockdown of the video room when it's game time. That you guys can go review game, you know, pitcher tendencies before or after the game, but otherwise you're in the dugout or in the batting cage practicing your swing in a game, but you are nowhere near the video replay room during a game.
Yeah,
that essentially, like, you have no access to that information or technology during a game.
Yeah, just the one coach that has a line to the dugout about whether or not they should be challenging.
Right.
I mean. Or, you know, no access to that at all.
You could have, and I mean,
and you have to
any
basically
system,
just challenge.
Someone, if someone wants to cheat a system, they'll find a way to do it. But, like, if you had something where it was a set of lights, like a green light and a red light, to like, you know, just a simple wire that ran from the video room to the dugout, that for a challengeable play either went green or red, and that was the only way they could communicate.
Well, I mean, then you get green for fastball,
but then
red
you
for changeup.
Yeah, and this is what I'm thinking is, even as I say it, there are ways to cheat the system, but just some way that, like, the communication is very limited in scope.
I don't I don't know what the answer is. I mean, obviously, even having no access to the video room, the Astros still managed to find a system in order to... I don't know. Bob Nightingale tweeted out today that the MLB is about to levy, quote, one of the harshest punishments in the sport's history at the Astros at the end of the investigation, end quote. So hopefully that means that the whole entire front office of the Astros is getting lifetime bans and some players are going to see some time away as well.
In an instance like this, where a couple of the people who were linked to it have then moved on to other clubs, do you see someone like Cora?
They should. Why? I mean, Cora has obviously had a systematic problem with this, right? If all of a sudden MLB has come out through multiple sources, anonymously or otherwise, saying this is wider than we thought it was, and one of the teams it might be wider with is the Red Sox, the team that Alex Cora went to.
Yeah.
That means he should be getting a lifetime ban too,
right?
If he did it at one team and went to another team, and the other team specifically, Dave Dombrowski, said, this is wrong, we shouldn't be doing this, and he went ahead and did it anyways, get him out of here. Gone. Get him out.
It's because of the stupidity of, like, the banging on the garbage cans and stuff like that, I think the, like, seriousness of this gets lost or is, like, underplayed in some way.
Yeah,
because a lot of what I've read is like, you know, it's like, it seems so silly, right? But it's a legitimately, like,
it could have ruined a bunch of players,
like,
careers.
Integrity of the game and unfair advantage.
It throws into question the validity and integrity of two whole seasons now,
right?
And 2017, like, and 2018, and maybe this past year,
what we thought was like an incredible rebuild and a club doing it the right
there
way.
There are multiple books written about that Astro rebuild. Multiple. Yeah. There's Astro Ball, and MVP Machine basically focuses around them, the Dodgers, and Trevor Bauer.
Good old Trevor Bauer. I'll be curious to see what exactly comes down. I mean, even if you say historic, like, that doesn't necessarily mean that front office is banned. Like,
well, I mean, when Nightingale says, and take it with a grain of salt, because Nightingale is Nightingale, and he's, you know, notoriously not a super great resource, but with him saying they are planning on levying, quote, one of the harshest punishments in the sport's history, a sport that has banned 8 players on a team for throwing a World Series in the past, a sport that has levied a lifetime ban against the sport's all-time hit leader. That's what that suggests to me, that they're planning on levying some bans. They levied a lifetime ban at the GM of the Atlanta Braves for skirting the international pool money.
That's right.
Which is a far less serious offense, in my opinion, than, I mean, it's still a serious offense, but it's a far less serious offense than cheating an entire season.
No, it's a significant thing, because it was like an endemic thing over multiple seasons versus,
yep,
like, you know, one kind of like shady.
Yep. And your bench coach decided to take it from the organization he was at to the new organization he was at, who immediately went on to win the World Series.
Yeah, that's very peculiar. From one Nightingale who tweets to another, Bobby Nightingale Jr. of the Cincinnati Inquirer. We're going to move on to the player movement and other things that are happening and some of the more positive stuff. He tweets that the Reds and right-hander center fielder Mike Lorenzen agreed to a $3.75 million salary for 2020, avoiding arbitration.
Cool.
This is where we're kind of starting to get into some of the player movement. And it was just funny that it was another Nightingale that happened to,
there's going to be a lot of that coming up and going on, because arbitration is happening today, I think.
Yeah. So the right-hander Matt Andrees and the D-backs settled at 1.3, for the upcoming season. That, according to Robert Murray, he's controlled through 2021. On the AL side of things, Andrew Heaney and the Angels agreed on $4.3 million. This is Mark Feinson of MLB.com. And the phone is ringing. Is that Chris Suk?
Michael, we missed you last week.
Ah, yes. I was. It was beautiful weather out that last week. It's kind of crazy to think just how cold it is now compared to like how pleasant it was last week. And I was outdoors enjoying.
Christmas break was really nice.
Tobogganing and skating and cross-country skiing.
We live in the northern tundra. It's been very good so far up to this couple last days.
Yeah.
No complaints. We're into January already. We're into a new decade. Happy New Year to everyone who's just listening today for the first time. And let's get going here. The hot stove is all heating up, and we're almost less than a month away from catchers and pitchers reporting.
Yeah.
That is true. That's great. That's a nice, like, warm thought on a particularly cold, blustery day.
Sure. Well, I'll tell you this, because I know this, because the Minnesota Twins caravan is running around North Dakota
right. The
next week or so, which is good. So people want to take a jaunt down and, you know, get their baseball MLB fix. You can kind of get into that. And I'll tell you this, we were talking last week with me and Brian about this, but you, Michael, the good Twinkie fan you are, I've heard good readings this week that Josh Donaldson is still in play, that they still have a chance for him, which would be huge because your Twinkies have done nothing this offseason. And I don't count the two little pitchers that they got, which are fine, but those are small contracts, not the big fish they've been needing this year.
No, they definitely did not come through on some of the rumored kind of folks that they
Josh
were.
Donaldson would be nice. That'd be nice. Would help for sure, right?
Yeah. So Dan Hayes, this was from The Athletic on Wednesday, saying you know, they're still in the mix for Josh Donaldson, and in fact, because the three teams that were kind of rumored to be like the top suitors, it's the Atlanta, the Nationals, and the Twins, that the Nationals, by all their signings, pretty much have signaled that they're not really.
Yeah, I just get the feeling, though, that because, you know, the Twins plopped down a four-year, $100 million contract in front of him, and the fact that he still hasn't decided to sign there makes me think that he is basically just using the Twins as leverage to get back to Atlanta.
He could be. There's no doubt about that.
I'd like to see him in Minnesota. He's one of my favorite players. I'd like to see him there, but
definitely, and especially now that we've waited for him. It's unfortunate because, you know, you look at someone like CJ Krohn, who then signed a one-year deal for like $6 million with the Tigers.
Right.
That's the kind of deal. Last year.
Well, that would be a good deal.
For that would have been a Twins-like deal last year,
100%.
Right? 100%. You know, the wait, let other people chase the big money guy and then get the cheaper but like solid B-plus option. Under the radar.
Well, I mean, they kind of did that with the pitchers, though.
And well,
they certainly did. Yes, Brian is totally right. That is a total Twins contract with those two guys.
So one of the reports that I read, obviously, they were not necessarily really in on Bumgarner, even though he was one of the top pitchers on the market. You know, this is a notoriously fickle dude who. I don't necessarily think would have jibed with like coaching staff and other personnel.
Probably not. He's very prickly.
Ryu, there were questions around his health.
Hey, and congratulations to Toronto for getting him. Me and Brian talked about that last week.
As many,
the impressive. I even had to say for a new era, new decade, that Toronto got it right on that one.
I'm sure it's some Twins backpedaling to say, oh, we had concerns around his health. Like, legitimately, the dude has had some health issues.
Sure.
But I would have loved to have Hyunjin Ryu on our squad, and I am super jealous of the Jays making that deal. And then I'm trying to, I guess, Keuchel was
kind of, you know, bandied about. But
I don't know. I think I'd rather have Hill and Homer Bailey than Dallas Keuchel.
And so this is the thing. Two guys.
And you're paying them $10 million for 1 year.
Significantly so cheaper than what you would have gotten one guy for.
And not $10 million for each. $10 million for both.
Yeah. And so.
And there's this, a reason why.
There's a reason why. Like, Rich Hill's coming off a surgery and an injury and has had, like, perpetual blister
and
problems.
Old.
But when he pitches,
He's good. Same with Homer Bailey.
And Homer Bailey shown signs of this. And this was our
good and bad.
Our, you know, Christmas wish list thing. I was all in on like reclamation projects.
Yeah.
Right. Well, like this is why I talked to Chris Archer. Right. It's a Twins move to get a cheaper guy.
Yeah.
Who has shown flashes and then make something out of that.
Yeah.
I still like the Archer thing. I got to be honest. That's such a good one. But I'll say this. The Twins still, you know, if they got Donaldson, that would just be such a great thing. Just because they just sit on their wallet way too much. You know this, Michael.
There's
so many years. Wait. Well, this is a team that division's still available. Chicago got better, definitely, in the offseason. Cleveland's gone down. But it's still there for the taking.
It's open.
They want to make that next move. They got to get someone, don't they?
And you get, you know, historic offensive production. You get 101 wins. But losing to the Yankees again, that stung. And but the opportunity was there to like make a few moves. And this is a team that generally, like, the payroll is not that high because a lot of the guys are young. And there's some flexibility around getting, like, an ace. Right. And especially because starting pitching has been an issue for about like 3 or 4 years. It was an obvious thing. And there were definitely some names available in free agency. It is disappointing. I
think you'll probably get 4, maybe 5 wins out of the pair of them, out of the pair of Bailey together, added together, about 4 to 5 wins above replacement out of the two of them. Which is fine. For $10 million, that's great.
That's a cheap price for wins.
That might be very kind.
Homer Bailey put up 3 last year, and Rich Hill put up 3. So that's 6. Wow. So I'm
Jen,
being,
if you expect,
we'll see.
I'm being pessimistic,
we'll see.
You're if anything.
Getting a limit on Hill's innings because of the surgery recovery timeline.
Right.
If you're downgrading, that's two less wins. That's a reasonable, like, regression or, like, kind of
I get what
hedge.
You're doing there. Yeah, I know. These are 4th and 5th. I guess the thing is, yes, I just still think Minnesota, like, I just give credit. I said to Brian, you know, I have to swallow it a bit, but, you know, Toronto, good for them to make a push here. Like, you know, teams.
Jay still need, there's still work. There's still work needs to get done.
But I'm just saying that's a start. You know, it's better than nothing, right?
Oh, yeah, I think for sure.
There's teams, if you're now projecting that you're going to make a little bit of a push there, make a push then. Minnesota's there. They, like Michael said, they won 101 games. It's not like, you know, it's not potential stuff. They were in the playoffs. They won 101 games. How do you build on that? Making a splash somewhere in this free agency.
No, and I think that, I mean, they've obviously shown that they want Donaldson. They've made a very serious offer. Four years, $100+ million is a serious offer. It just, for whatever reason,
he's trying to get more, obviously.
It sounds like he wants to go to Atlanta, and he'll accept the Twins' offer if Atlanta doesn't match it, but it sounds like he wants to go back to Atlanta. Which,
sure, but he wants 4 years, and I don't know if anyone else is going to give him 4 years. That's the thing. Right,
no.
That's a lot, right?
No,
for a guy that's,
he's,
you know,
33, which means he'd be 37 when the contract ends. I get it, but and a lot of the intelligence that's coming out seems to suggest that he doesn't want to live in Minnesota. Which, like, I don't know why you wouldn't want to live in Minnesota in the summertime. It's beautiful
this
there.
This is the thing,
right,
is like,
it's exactly, you can leave during the off season when it's like this. Don't,
you can
be
go
in Minnesota.
Like, you don't have to,
like,
be
if
there.
If I didn't have to live here, I wouldn't live here.
Georgia, it's like swamp weather in the summertime.
Yeah, why would you want to be there in the summertime? I don't get it.
Like, he doesn't have to stay in Minnesota year round.
It's beautiful, and there's so much stuff to do in Minneapolis. There's so much stuff to do. It's not like it's some. It's not like it's some, you know, far out tundra where there's nothing for his wife and kids to do.
This is the kind of thing where, like,
they got Valley Fair.
A team needs an ombudsman. Like, some sort, or like chancellor, like someone who reps the team.
Yeah.
Like chancellor.
who's like, hey, Joe Mauer, former face of the franchise, hometown boy, how about you invite Josh Donaldson up to your sprawl? You show him what you can do
in
Minnesota.
Well, it's kind of hard in the offseason.
Well, but even in the offseason, you know, this is a guy who reportedly likes hunting and other outdoor activities.
Right.
Show him what you got, right? And like, give him a sense of what you can do. Or, like, call him up on the phone and say, hey, I want to send you, like, a picture of my place in the summertime.
Yeah.
And invite you out to it, like, first time the snow melts. And, you know, come to Minnesota. We'll make you happy. Like some sort of, like, soft sell from a player.
Yeah.
I would totally agree with that. And me and Brian talked about this last week. The thing with free agent, you don't get anything for second place. You know, like they came up short with Wheeler. That was another one that you were trying to get.
Right. Wheeler, yes.
Right?
That was the other name I was trying to think.
They came up 18 million short. Well, I don't care if you came 1 million short. You still came short. Like, there's no second, right? So somewhere in there would be nice if they could land someone like Donaldson, because it would just, you know, fill the
Would make them the favorites for the division for sure.
I think so, right? Because I think Chicago is right there. On paper.
Well, it's going to be an interesting
off season, right?
It's going to be an interesting division. Well. All three of those teams, I think, are probably going to end up right around the same amount of win totals. You're probably going to see all three of those teams end up, what, 84 to 87 wins?
Ooh, so you're saying Minnesota's going to regress back from 101 down, like they're going to lose 10 or 15 games?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Well, I mean, they're not going to be beating up on Chicago, and Detroit got better, too.
Oh, okay, hold on here. Detroit and Kansas City are still in that division. So you've got
They're still bad, but they both, like, Kansas City's going to be a disaster.
Kansas City remains ill.
But Detroit's still got a little bit better.
Yeah, okay, sure. But, I mean, you know, I don't know. I mean,
Toronto got better.
But Cleveland, I mean, it looks like they're going to stay with
the Angels got better.
Yeah, on paper, sure. We'll see here.
Texas
right?
got I mean, better.
Angels
the AL is
supposed to be better last
the AL
year,
is attempting to, with the exception of the Royals and the Orioles, and probably the Mariners. The AL is trying to compete. You lost three teams that weren't necessarily trying to compete or were bad last year.
But okay, so what I mean now, I feel like a Michael Herbert. I'm going to pump up the Twins for a second.
The Twins are
but
good.
But the theory is that these guys who are on that roster hopefully will be a year better too, right? They're going to stay remain there. I mean, maybe
right. I just think that the schedule. I think the schedule at large is harder. I think the schedule at large is harder.
I think they can still sure, but I think they can still. I think that's a lot of. You're looking at 10 or 15 game regression.
I mean, they performed about 8 wins above their Pythagorean this past year, so it's not absurd to say
that. I had that yesterday, the Pythagorean. Boy, that was good.
Hilarious. No, it's basically just how many runs you score and how many runs you allow, and it tells you how many games you should have won in theory.
Gotcha. Yeah, yeah.
So the Twins performed about 8 games above that level, and so if you expect them to regress to that mean, right?
Yeah.
So having them lose 8 games because of luck, more or less, and another 5 or 6 because of, you know, the rest of the teams in the league, American League, being that much better, it's not absurd.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, here's the thing. I'll do a gentleman's bet right off the bat here for 2020. Twins will win 90 games or more next year.
Okay.
Or this year coming up.
I'll
right?
take that.
And you're going to go the under, right?
Yeah, I'll
so
take
there
that.
There we go.
I'll take the under.
That. We'll see where we're at.
Put it on the board.
This is our first water bet.
Put it on the board.
90 games over under. You're taking the under? Okay.
Yeah.
I'll take
90 or above, right? So 90, I get 90 or above, right? So I'll take that.
I'll say 90 is a push. You get 91 and above,
I get 90? Why don't I get 90? I'm going to fight
because
for
you 90. Whatever. I'll take 89 and below. It's fine.
There you go. Perfect. There you go.
Because
you were just arguing about the regression, and you think they're going to probably be in the middle of the 80s anyway. So what does it matter? If they get to 89, you still win.
Yeah.
There you go.
There you go. We don't have a lot of time to run through other things, but is there any off-season move that you guys wanted to touch upon before we hand things over to Amy Goodman?
Yeah, I want to talk about just how confused I am about that trade that happened yesterday in between the Rays and the Cardinals.
Explain that to me. Who benefited from that?
I think the Rays do? I'm not 100% sure. They're trading one of their top prospects, which makes me think that they know something about it. Jose Martinez is a good player when he's on. So I think the Rays think that they can keep him on, which makes him a really good corner outfielder. But the problem is they have so many corner outfielders. I don't know what the heck.
Maybe they're parlaying that to some other
Does he play
deal or
first now? But no, because they've got Sasugo, which is supposed to play first.
A place for him. You're not making that trade and not playing him.
So I think the Rays win that, but it's weird. I don't completely understand it.
I will agree with you about that. Real quick here, maybe we can talk about it next week here. I'm a little surprised that we still haven't had, like, the big trade somewhere, right? Like, you know, like we've heard about Lindor.
Oh, it's happening.
Ryan.
It's happening.
I guess
The Red Sox are going to trade away Mookie Betts to shed David Price's salary, and I'm going to come on here and be mad for 40 minutes.
Oh, that'd be great. We'll go overtime and Amy Goodman, she'll have to wait because you'll be so angry.
It's so dumb. I don't even like the Red Sox.
Would you
Sox,
be
but...
more angry if Arenado got flipped?
Yes. I'd probably be.
Arenado would be the biggest one, I think. Oh, well,
I think I'd be.
Arenado.
I think
it would be one and 1-8.
In order of madness, I think Arenado, Betts, Bryant, Lindor. In that order of madness, so, of anger.
Good, yeah. And, but any alphabetically, one of those four too. Going, right, very good. Any one of those four would be pretty ridiculous, right? Age, the skill level, that they would be up for availability for in a trade. I mean,
well, and I mean,
them,
the thing with the Colorado trade, they're going to trade away Lindor, and then they're going to have three or four, you know, above 500 seasons, and there's going to be a bunch of pieces where, like, Colorado's front office is confused about what they need to do in order to compete with the Yankees and the Red Sox or, you know, the Dodgers, and it's going to be like, well, you traded them away 3 years ago, so there you go, egg on your face. It's so dumb.
Hey, Mike, though, put this on for next week, too. Maybe we can also talk about that cheating thing that's going on.
We
with
already talked about it.
We started off with that
I
one.
I missed it. Okay, good stuff. Well, I'm glad you touched base. We can still revisit that again.
Oh, I'm
Maybe
sure we will.
Come down with the Astros. We'll see if they
I'm
can
sure
come
we
down
will.
Yeah. I'm sure as so soon as the MLB hands down their decision on it, we will definitely discuss it further. But that is it for today. Hope you all have a great weekend. Stay warm out there, and just keep your eye out, because eventually we will get to play ball.